Welcome to episode 480 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. Oh, and I'm so excited. We have Apple news.
And I feel so dirty that I made it the featured story. But it is the biggest news to hit this week. I mean, it's news that we've been waiting on for 5 years? 7 years? 10 years?
Yeah.
11 billion years?
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. We've been talking about this forever. But there's two pieces to this, and we'll get to that. But before we do that, we have some feedback.
Well, yeah.
We have not so much feedback, so much as some help for you with a problem that you talked about two episodes ago in the sad edition of the show. And that one was where you were kind of struggling with the fact that TiVo doesn't have the concept of stop.
Being a media center guy, it's still weird to me. Even though I haven't been a media center guy for 3 or 4 or 5. Gosh, how long has it been?
Yeah, I don't know. It is kind of unusual for most DVRs, for pretty much any media device, to not have a stop. And the reason is that they always thought of back as accomplishing stop. So if you wanted to stop, it would take you, you know, you would go back to the menu that took you there. So you would either press the left button or you would press, nowadays, the back button. Or right. You can pause like you were teaching your daughter to do.
Yeah. So this message is actually from, I'm going to use his full name because he's written for the DMZ before. He's been on this podcast, but it's been a long time. His name is Josh Schenkel. He goes by the online handle of UMDivix. He says, "Hey, Josh, it's been a while. I'm still listening to you guys. Well, no longer Adam, but still keeping up with the show when I can." He says, "I've been catching up and hear that you and Richard got TiVos. Welcome to the club." Well, that's not really new for Richard. Richard's been a TiVo guy forever. But
way says, long time.
Yeah. He says, "After my Seton card died on me and the 6-tuner option from Silicon Dust wasn't out, I ended up switching to TiVo, and I've been running the 6-tuner TiVo Romeo and 2 TiVo minis for a few years now. With regards to the stop button, what I ended up doing," because he also thought this was weird, I guess, "was reprogramming that button to be the live TV command. There isn't a stop button, as you know, but the best way I figured out was to just switch back to live TV. So we're always used to hitting stop. So now stop just goes back to watching live TV." I think that makes sense. And I think that's essentially what the TiVo interface wants you to do anyway, because that's how TV worked forever. You turned on the TV and you saw live TV.
Yeah, I have a problem with this because this feels destructive to me. Like, this is harder to recover from. If
how so?
You accidentally press stop, because then, all right, I press stop. Now, if I didn't really mean to get out of it completely, or if what I wanted to do is maybe watch something else, then I have to go back into the recorded shows, and then I have to go and find the show that I want and maybe go and restart it again. And so that seems a little bit more complicated to me. I actually just have it programmed as back. So if I press stop, it goes back, and that takes you out of whatever you were watching. I also have it programmed now to go to live TV by pressing the DVR button on my Universal Remote, because for some reason, Universal Remotes still don't have live TV buttons. Oh, and what is that about? I don't understand.
Yeah, that really doesn't make a lot of sense. It is a really useful button.
So I actually program my DVR button to go back to live TV, because you can always get to your recorded shows just by going through the menu. So
I guess, but isn't it recorded shows that you want to get to most frequently?
Not necessarily, because there's other stuff that I might go to the menu for, like apps or things like that, right? Because that's how you would navigate between your different apps. It's how you would navigate to like your search if you wanted to use that, or recommendations. So I just do everything as if I were pressing the TiVo button. That's my menu button. And then that eventually gets me into recorded shows. Long ago, in days of old, if you pressed your TiVo button and then pressed your TiVo button again, it used to actually swap between your recorded shows and your main menu. But it doesn't seem to do that anymore with the new TiVo interface. That would be really useful still.
Yeah, oh, well. That could be useful. Yeah.
But hey, this is a good tip. And I'm glad, Josh, that you're also a TiVo person. I've always enjoyed my TiVos, and I actually set up a recording on my TiVo now. So now I have to watch it so that I can test that auto skip feature I was talking about in our last episode.
You know, speaking of skipping, I have another question for you, because I have been watching a little bit of stuff on mine, and I'm terrible at fast forwarding through commercials. With the Harmony, how do I activate the skipping stuff?
Yeah, so what I do is, and I do this on everything that has this capability, it is more likely that I want to jump ahead a little bit than wanting to actually fast forward or rewind. So what I have done, and I think I mentioned this to Dave McCabe when he was trying to use the Harmony remote as well, I programmed the primary function for the fast forward and rewind buttons to be skip and replay. And then I press the secondary, I program the secondary function, which is with a press and hold, to be fast forward and rewind. Because I don't use it, I don't use those functions as much as I might want to skip through. So if I press fast forward, it's going to skip through 30 seconds at a time. And you can just keep on doing that a bunch of times and probably accomplish what you wanted to do with fast forward anyway.
But doesn't the TiVo remote have a skip button on it?
It does, but there aren't that many buttons on the Harmony remote.
So what does the skip button on the TiVo remote do?
The skip button skips
does it just
forward
skip 30 seconds? 30,
well, so yes. It well, then no. Are you talking about the green skip button, or are you talking about the regular?
I thought it was white.
Like, there's a button that has an arrow that hits a boundary, right? And that is basically skipping forward 30 seconds. And then I believe some TiVo remotes have an actual green skip button, which jumps to the end of the commercial break.
That's the one I'm talking about.
That I program to the green button, but you don't have to. Here's why. If you press channel up, it does the same thing.
Really?
Really.
TiVo pro tip right here from Richard Gunther. And that doesn't work on all shows. It only works on some shows.
It only works on shows that indicate that you can skip commercials. You'll get a little skip flag or tag next to the episode name in your recordings.
Oh, okay. All right. I will look for that and try that out. Channel up to skip to the end of a commercial break. Okay.
Yep.
Nice.
All right.
Nice tip. All right. Let's get on to the news that I'm sure you're dying to talk about, your Apple news. This week, Apple had their event that they were teasing as their Showtime event. It's Showtime, they said, Richard.
It's Showtime.
Is it Showtime?
Kind of.
Yeah.
So there are two things to talk about as far as we're concerned. One is video and one is gaming. What do you want to do first?
Why don't we do the gaming? Because I think it'll be quick and we can just get it out of the way. Because I don't think it's the big deal.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Neither do I think that the video news is the big deal either. But let's let's proceed anyway. So Apple has introduced Apple Arcade, which is a game subscription service. Now, what's a little bit different about this, on the heels of the announcement of Stadia, is that Apple Arcade is actually designed to work offline. So you'll be able to access, they say initially, over 100 games. They will be exclusive titles. And I think everybody knows how Josh and I feel about exclusive titles. Great for companies, terrible for consumers.
Yes, indeed.
It looks like they're actually trying to potentially favor or feature some indie game houses that aren't really getting the attention that they deserve in the App Store. Because as anyone who uses the App Store knows, there's just too much freaking stuff in there to find anything good. So unless you're one of the big names that has one of the big attention blocks, you're probably not going to get found. So this is good from that perspective. But what I wonder is this going to be the kind of games that is going to entice people to pay some sort of subscription fee to get access to these games? And I don't know the answer to that. Now, they say they're going to start with 100 plus games. They'll be downloadable so you can play them offline or online. It's going to work on your iPad, your iPhone, presumably your iPad, whatever they call it, touch, if you still have one of those. No, iPod touch. How soon we forget. If you still have one of those devices, the Apple TV and the Mac, which is interesting. I actually did not expect that, so that's kind of cool. And they're not going to have ads in them. They are not going to have any paid add-ons. So that means that your kids can't end up like killing you on fees on DLC, and they won't do anything to track your activity or your usage to then try and like sell you new stuff or whatever, because that's the Apple mantra, right? It'll also work with family sharing. So if you subscribe, then everyone in your family can use it. That's kind of cool. It's going to be available this fall to over 150 countries or regions. And we have no idea what it's going to cost. No pricing. None at all.
So this is more like Xbox Game Pass than it is like Google Stadia, because you're just getting access to regular games that you would get on your device. You install them the way that you would normally, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think I mentioned Stadia because I almost felt like this was a little bit of a stab at Stadia, because they're like, oh yeah, and by the way, you're going to be able to play this on the plane, and you're going to be able to play this when you don't have internet access. No matter where you are, whether you're connected or not, you can play this.
Yeah, and frankly, that just seems like a crappy attempt at a cheap shot, really. Like, no one... they're not comparable services in any way. You're talking about playing Angry Birds versus Assassin's Creed. It's not the same thing.
Yeah. And
it's not Angry Birds, but it's phone games. It's phone games versus AAA console games.
Yes, yes, yes. Although they showed some games that were certainly more robust than your average phone game. So,
oh yeah, yeah, phone games have come a long way, but it's still not Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. So, that's basically it. That's the gaming news, and we'll find out more, I guess, in the fall. The next big piece was the video news. And the video news is kind of split between two things: what they're calling Apple Channels and what they're calling Apple TV Plus. God, I hate their branding these days. Okay, so, oh, by the way, these are all Apple symbols too, right? Just to make it hard. So Apple symbol TV Plus is what we all knew it was going to be. It is...
I don't think that's a fair statement at all. Go ahead and say what it is.
It is a service that will offer Apple Originals, which is what it should have been called. Right. It will be available this fall. It includes serious star power: J.J. Abrams, Oprah, I'm losing. I just lost completely the names that I had in my head. But anyway, lots Spielberg, lots of big names behind this. All the stuff that we've heard in the news available this fall. We have no idea how much. We have no idea what devices. We don't know how you're going to access this. It's just going to be available this fall. By the way, they trotted all those people up on stage.
Right. So I don't know. Maybe I just don't pay close enough attention to Apple rumors for obvious reasons, but I didn't expect that this service would only be originals. This is not a Netflix or a Hulu competitor. This is a subscription service for just Apple originals.
Yes. Yes. That is, well, we don't even know that it's a subscription service. We just know that it is an offering that they are going to have this fall. We don't know what that means.
That's true. But everything that they were pitching was a service.
Yes, that and that's actually a really good point. Like, they started this whole event talking about how this is about services. This is about our mm-hmm. services. They had the news service. They talked about the music service. And we talked about the games. And now this is the video stuff. So anyway, that's that.
Well, hold on. Yeah, I don't think we should go away from that, because I think that's the thing that everyone was excited about. Maybe. Like, I think that was the thing that most people were thinking was, this was going to be the big thing. This was going to be the way that Apple was going to shake things up. And I get that the changes that you're going to talk about to the TV app are some of that. But this is kind of weird. And frankly, I think kind of a letdown. And it'll be the real determining factor of how much of a letdown it actually is will come once we know the price. Because if this is even the same price as Netflix, it's too much. Because I'm not going to pay $15 a month for Netflix if all I get is originals.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay $12 a month for Hulu if it's only their originals.
Yeah, it won't be. I guarantee you it won't be that expensive. I will be surprised if they even charge for it.
You think they're just going to give this content away?
I think that is a possibility.
How are they going to make their money back?
They're going to make their money on licensing and on devices.
Licensing,
we'll talk more about that in a minute.
Okay.
All right. So this is not a big deal as far as I'm concerned. This reminds me so much of what Microsoft announced 5 years ago at E3, that they were starting their own creative studio and they were going to be producing Microsoft originals, and some of them would be games, some of them would be videos, shows, some of them would be hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the? Oh, right, that died. Well,
it did. We got a couple of things.
It didn't so much die, and actually, one of the things that came out of that was really, really good. But they abandoned it. It wasn't mm-hmm. successful enough for them. It wasn't something that was important enough for them to continue going forward on. This is a weird area for them to get involved in. And certainly there's a lot of news about how the producers are actually lamenting to some extent Apple's involvement, because Apple is involved in every minute detail and they don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see how this does. Now, they talked about some shows. Some of them seem really cool. Like, they have the guy, I think his name is Jason Momoa, the guy from Aquaman and Game of Thrones and Stargate Atlantis, where he lives in this world where everybody is blind. What a cool concept. Like, it's a really cool concept. They showed something that, something that shows kind of a revival of... Is it Amazing Stories? I think that was the name of the show. That looks like it could be really, really cool. So I think the content that they're going to create is good. I don't see how they charge for it. I just don't. I don't know. We'll see. But this is not the only thing, right? The other thing is that they are also making some significant updates to the Apple TV app. So your TV experience is going to be improved. This is what I think everybody expected that they were going to provide in terms of a consolidated content service. And they have called it Apple Channels, which really infuriates me because I feel like that title is incredibly dishonest. It suggests, and even they described it as, only pay for the channels that you want. And then when they list what the channels are, it's existing streaming services that individual networks offer. So it's not like you could say, all right, well, I want NBC, ABC, CBS, and CW. I want HBO. I want TLC and HGTV. And that's what I want. Because that's what, you know, pay for what you want means to me. Pay for the channels that you want. That's not what this is.
Mm-hmm.
This is all of the networks that have these streaming services, and not all of them, because not everybody's on board yet, where they're built into the TV app, and you can quickly just add them. You can say, okay, well, this thing is on CBS. All right, I want to add CBS All Access. And then you can watch CBS All Access stuff, and that shows up in the Apple TV app. Or I want MTV's music videos service, and then that will show up in your... It's not individual channels. So calling it channels is so disingenuous. It just really infuriates me. And the thing that I think is just both wonderful and frustrating as anything here is... 4 years ago, Tim Cook stood on stage and said, "We believe that the future of TV is apps." And what they're doing right now is they are aggregating all of these services into the TV app and promoting that there's no, this is a direct quote, "no more bouncing from app to app." Right? Because the future of TV of apps was a stupid idea.
Do you know what this reminds me of?
What?
Windows Phone 8.
Okay. Why?
Windows Phone 8, it came out and they said, the idea of bouncing from app to app isn't fun. It's not a good experience. It doesn't give you what you need. Instead, we have hubs. You want to interact with people? You go to your people app and you can Skype them and text them and Facebook them and view their Facebook profile and their Twitter profile. And you don't have to bounce between all these apps. Yeah. You want to look at your photos? You can see all of them from your local camera, your Flickr feed, your Facebook photos, all of them in one hub. And it was a fantastic idea.
Right.
It's just that the app manufacturers didn't jump on board.
Right. So that's your key differentiator there. That was a good idea. The idea that the future of TV would be apps was not a good idea, because what it created was consumer confusion as a result of the fragmentation of content across all those different services.
Right.
So now they're playing fix up, right? Now they're trying to repair the problem that they created. And look, I'm not complaining that I can get third-party apps on my Apple TV. I think that's a great thing. I love that. But I don't want every show that I watch to be in some different app and to have to know where to go to watch that. That is never going to work well in most households. So what they're doing here makes more sense. But all they're doing is offering one or two click subscription to those services built into your Apple TV and all billed through Apple. That's all this is. This isn't add this channel, add that channel, add that channel. That is not what this is.
So you're saying it's just the part where you sign up for the services? I didn't get to watch the event, so I don't know what the user interface looks like. But when I heard people talking about it, it made it sound like I would open up channels and there would be Game of Thrones if I subscribed to HBO. And there would be, I was going to say Netflix, but it's not part of it.
No, that is absolutely right.
Handmaid's Tale.
But that's kind of what you already get when you use the TV app on Apple TV. So if I'm on Apple TV and I have Hulu and I have, let's say a TLC and CBS All Access and things like that, HBO Go, they're all tied into my TV app already. It's already acting as a curator that's based on my viewing habits. This is one area where they do actually store your information on the cloud so that they can give you a much better curation experience. But they don't sell it. They only keep it to them. They even said, we're not giving the subscribers information that they can sell. The only thing, we are doing the curation. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and that's one of the reasons that Netflix doesn't want to play.
Right.
So you now have additional services that you're going to be able to tie into this, and you're going to be able to subscribe to them without having to leave the app. You see this show that you might want to watch. You don't have the service. That's okay. You can subscribe to it. You see this network that has a streaming service that you want to add to be able to get every single Bridezilla show that's available, you can add that to your Apple TV experience and do it with one or two clicks. So you don't have to go through that whole creating an account and logging in. The thing that I complain about every time I have to set up a new box, right? This integrates that. That's great. I'm not saying that that's bad, but that's not a streaming service. That's not...
No.
You know, like all they're doing is they are becoming an aggregated curator, and that's good. Mm-hmm. I like that. Now,
yeah,
I am saying as if like I don't like this. I don't think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. It's just not what people were expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's something else people weren't expecting. When this becomes available in May, it is going to be available on the TV app. That TV app, oh, by the way, remember when we saw iTunes movies and TV shows on the Samsung television at CES?
Yep.
Forget you ever saw that. That's not going to happen. Instead, you're going to get the new Apple TV app on Samsung televisions, LG televisions, Sony televisions, Vizio televisions, Roku boxes, and Fire TV devices. The Apple TV app is going to make your Apple TV experience available pretty much everywhere, with the exception of game consoles.
And Windows. And
Windows, yeah.
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 And Android devices. So it's just the Apple TV thing? It's not all of iTunes?
Well, and it never was all of iTunes. The iTunes experience for Samsung was only going to be the movies and TV portion of iTunes. It was going to be very similar.
Did we know that for sure?
Yeah, we did.
That it wasn't going to include music?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
We did. So it's better than what we thought we were going to get, and it's on way more devices. Notice these are the same device manufacturers that are also going to be offering AirPlay this year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's a really cool thing. And I was floored by the fact that it was going to be on Fire TV.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's really surprising.
I think that's a big, big deal. So that's very cool. Makes you wonder then, when Apple TV Plus comes out, meaning those new originals are available, are they available to Apple TV app services, apps that are running everywhere on all those things? We don't know.
So let me get back to one of the original questions of, if you think that Apple TV Plus is going to be free, how are they making money from that content?
I think they're making money through licensing deals with these manufacturers, with Samsung, LG, Sony, Vizio, Roku, Fire TV, meaning Amazon, that by putting their app on those devices, ultimately they're going to get some revenue from that, I think.
So you think Samsung is paying Apple to put their app on Samsung's TVs?
I think at some point in time, they will be. Maybe not now, but I think at some point in time, they might be. We'll have to see.
That's not normally how these app stores work.
I don't know. We'll have to see. Yeah. I mean, that could be crazy. That could be totally crazy.
I think you're crazy. I don't think there's any chance that Apple TV Plus is free.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
I like to make bets with you, but we never have anything to actually make as the stakes of the bet.
I know. So that's no fun. So we'll see. We'll see. You know, who knows? Will Apple TV Plus be available on all these devices? We don't know that. It may only be available on Apple devices. We don't know anything about where it will be or what it will cost. So we will have to wait. All right. Anything else on the Apple stuff?
I think that's it.
Yeah. I mean, there's some cool stuff here. It's just everybody thought this was going to be the savior of television. This brand new thing that was going to spawn a new day in streaming. It's not that.
And when you say everyone thought that, you really mean the tech press that's in love with everything Apple does.
That is probably the best way to say. And pretty much every podcast I listen to, including podcasts that have no business talking about video streaming services, are all talking about what Apple was doing.
Yeah.
All right. So that is it for the Apple news. Now, one other quick video story, and I should have put this in last week's lineup because by the time you hear this, unless you happen to be in our chat room right now, it's too late. So I will hopefully tweet something out tonight to remind folks about this. But if you remember, we talked about Ultraviolet shutting down at the end of the second quarter. Verizon has been one of the partners with Ultraviolet. So if you had a Verizon Fios account, then your on-demand library could include the Ultraviolet titles that you had. They would be part of your on-demand purchases in your Verizon media library. They are pulling out of Ultraviolet on Wednesday of the week that this episode we're recording comes out. So if you're listening on the day the show drops, yesterday, way, way, way earlier than when Ultraviolet is actually shutting down. So hopefully, if you care about this, if you use the Verizon Fios boxes and you want these movies in your media library, you had the opportunity to ensure that everything was synchronized before this shutdown occurs. Because from this point on, your Ultraviolet service movie titles are not going to appear in the Verizon Fios library anymore. Only the stuff that you had from before.
Yeah, that's crazy to drop out 3 months early.
I don't get it. I just don't understand.
No. That's not good for the consumers. So,
no.
I don't see the benefit here. I don't understand why they're doing this, but it's not cool.
Nope.
All right. For our last video story, it's not a story. I got a question for you.
Okay.
I was listening to Cord Killer's podcast this morning. This episode just came out today, I think. And they were talking about some report out of the MPAA. I think that's the story that this came from. I don't really know for sure. It was 5:30 in the morning and I was running. So I didn't write any of this down. This is all coming from my head. Sorry. But in all of these numbers that was talking about like how many people are watching streaming services versus cable and all of this other stuff, one of the things that they talked about briefly is that the number of new shows being produced is increasing dramatically year over year. Every year, there are more and more shows to watch. And that's not just a bunch of crap, like reality TV junk.
Right.
This is scripted dramas, the good stuff.
Right. Yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah. And I immediately thought of you because as this number goes up and up and up, there is absolutely no way that anyone will be able to watch everything that they want to watch. Yet, here's my good friend Richard Gunther, who records everything in the hopes that he's eventually someday going to be able to watch all of it. And my friend, you're not going to be able to.
Right.
So What are you planning to do here going forward?
Here's one of the things that's a little bit different about this. And I don't know if they got into this at all on that episode or not, because I'm not up to date on my podcast, as we've discussed in the past. But I think one of the things that you're finding is that more and more of these shows are not being released in the traditional linear manner that we're used to seeing them, meaning not on some network where you see one episode every week or so, and you have the opportunity to record and archive it for later viewing. Many, many of these shows are coming from online services, things like CBS All Access or like Netflix or Hulu. There are many additional companies that are getting into this game to create their own originals. Apple. I mean, come on.
Right.
So the good news for people like me that will want to be able to watch this stuff, if, and this is a big if those services survive, and if they keep their catalog of previously released shows available over time, is that you could just go and watch them online at some point.
Okay, but the point is that there's going to be so many shows that you want to watch that even if you retired and watched TV all day long, you still wouldn't have enough time to watch everything that you want to watch.
Yeah, so I may have to retire earlier than I anticipated. I don't really know how I'm going to finance that, because I'm going to have to pay for a lot of subscription services. But the good news is I won't really get out much. All I need is a TV and a bunch of Doritos. So I'm good.
And a cardiologist.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And it's funny that you say retirement, because I think about that. I think about how, you know, there's this quintessential is the wrong word, but there's this kind of stereotypical, I think, image that people have of retirement homes, where you go in and there's a central room. And by the way, this is so true in many cases, because I've been in many of these places with my own family and Edward's family. And in the central room, there's a big TV and everyone's watching Golden Girls or whatever happens to be on whatever, you know, completely innocuous network that the attendants decide to turn on for everybody to watch or stare at. It's usually more stare at. So how is that going to change in the future? I mean, the possibility of on-demand content and all of this stuff that you want to watch that maybe you didn't get to watch, that if you still have your wits about you, you could have really good quality, enjoyable programming available to seniors who have a lot of time to pass. I actually think that's a great thing.
Oh, it is.
What concerns me is that I don't think that the infrastructure that's in place today to support senior living is going to support that model. At least it certainly doesn't today. Will it in 10 years? Maybe.
You're doing a really excellent job of deflecting away from the question of how it is that you, the digital hoarder and guy who feels the need to watch everything, is going to deal with this.
Yeah, and it's not that I want to watch everything, but there are a lot of things, there are a lot of good things that I want to watch.
You want to listen to every single episode of every podcast you subscribe to.
Of everything I subscribe to. It doesn't mean I subscribe to everything, right?
I know, but there's just going to be more and more things that you want to subscribe to.
Yeah, well, and we'll talk about the effect that that has on my viewing a little bit later in the show. You make a good point that I'm never going to be able to see all the good stuff. That's just how it is, right? That's just how it is. People are constantly recommending shows to me that I just don't possibly have time to prioritize and consider watching at this point. But who knows? Maybe in the future, all of this stuff is going to kind of, you know, fall apart, and all we'll have are the shows that we created in this golden age. Then I'll be able to catch up.
All right. Well, we'll move on from the hypothetical and move on to some audio news this week. Plex sent out, just via their email newsletter, a little bit of news about some of their audio features within the Plex app. This is mostly on mobile. You might remember at some point last year, we talked about a brand new standalone app from Plex called Plex Amp, sort of like Winamp, but using Plex as your source for your audio files.
Yeah.
Well, the coolest thing about Plex Amp was the on-screen visualizations.
Really? Was it really the cool? I don't know.
What aspect of that app was cooler than that?
Well, okay, but that's a low bar, right?
Sure.
I mean, I think the fact that this was able to do visualizations and that visualizations were really cool when stuff flying around your screen in a mathematical fashion was amazing 20 years ago and still trying to revere that as a cool thing, I have a problem with that. I don't know.
Okay. It's still kind of cool, I think. Well, they've brought, and it's probably a good thing that I think it's cool because they've brought it to mobile apps, including Android and iOS. It's also coming to Android TV and Apple TV, which I think is also good. This is just part of the regular Plex app. We're not talking about Plex Amp anymore. So just listening to your music library through Plex on those devices should give you the visualizer stuff.
Hmm. Why do you say should?
Well, should, because I tried it on my Pixel 3 XL tonight and it never worked. I tried multiple albums from my own library, and the first couple were maybe a little bit obscure, and I'm like, I don't know, maybe there's a chance that this is album specific. So I listened to Blink 182. Like, this is pretty mainstream stuff. Didn't work. And then I thought, I don't know, maybe it's something to do with my library. Let me connect to Richard's music library. Wow, you've got but you've got music for me to try. And and it didn't work with your terrible music library either.
Okay. Well, when you say it didn't work, do you mean that the option for a visualization was not there, or that it was there and you selected it and it did not work?
The second one.
Oh. Yeah.
The option is there. And what it does is, normally, you just get most of the screen is showing the album artwork. You turn on the visualizer, and it's supposed to just replace the album artwork with the crazy visualizer stuff. And the album artwork goes away, but I didn't get any visualizer stuff. So that kind of stinks.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I should try it on my iOS device.
Yeah, I should try that. Sure. Mail it to me. Or you could try it on your
iOS device. Yeah, that's what I mean. I'll try it. I'll let you know. And now this is supposed to work on Apple TV too, right?
Eventually. It's not there yet. They just said that it's coming soon to Android TV and Apple TV.
Okay. Now, see, that makes more sense, right? Because that's kind of like a party mode thing.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's where I would be far more likely to use it. The other feature that they've got is part of their integration with Tidal, the Tidal music streaming service. And now with Tidal, it will display song lyrics on TV devices. So on Android TV, on iOS. They were a little less specific. They just said on TV devices and iOS. So I don't know if that also means things like Xbox and, I don't know, all the other devices that Plex is on.
I would assume so.
Yeah, I would assume so too. So, I mean, you could use Tidal inside of Plex to do karaoke at home. And if you're into karaoke, that sounds pretty good.
So can you have lyrics and visualizations?
I don't think so.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it would.
I mean, that would be very karaoke, because usually the karaoke machines have these crazy... Never mind. Anyway.
Have you ever done karaoke?
Once.
And never again?
I have friends that love it. So I've gone to karaoke multiple times, but I've only been drunk enough to do it once.
Yeah, I've never done it. I've never even been to a karaoke bar, so I'm okay with that. All right, one more audio story. This one is from my favorite music streaming service. Of course, that's Spotify. they're making some more changes to how some of their playlist work. And I was going to say their personalized playlist, but that's not really it. This is a change to some of their curated playlist. So like their rap caviar playlist. And I can't think of any of the other named ones because I don't actually listen to them. Well, I guess there's a couple of like worship music ones that I've listened to occasionally, but there aren't many that I actually listen to because I use the regular fully personalized ones most of the time. But what they're doing is they're taking these playlists that have always previously been 100% curated. And that means a human being or team of humans sat down and said, these are the songs that should be on this playlist. Everybody who subscribes to Spotify can listen to these playlists and subscribe. They're changing it so that some of the tracks on those playlists will now work through their algorithms and all that stuff to add or subtract songs from those lists based on your personalization habits, your listening habits, and things like that. And on the surface, that sounds like a really good idea. Mm-hmm. And in their testing, I couldn't think of a better way to phrase this. So this is a quote right out of the article from The Verge that we'll have a link to in the show notes. They said, people seeking out songs after discovering them through one of these types of playlists is up 80%. And track save, so like being able to just click, yes, save this track, I like it, is up 66%. So apparently this really works.
So I'm having a hard time grokking really like what that means exactly. So people, that means that the recommendations that are a result of this are that much better? Is that what they're getting at?
That's what I think they're getting at. Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Those are kind of crazy numbers.
Yeah. That's really cool. I would love for Amazon My Soundtrack playlist to get to be that good because I just never know what the heck it's going to be from one day to the next.
Maybe you should try Spotify again. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
It's really good. Make a new account, start from scratch, see how it works.
I really do like my Amazon Music. Spotify would be available everywhere where I'm using Amazon Music. Oh, no. It wouldn't be available in my car.
Really?
Yeah, I'll have to look at that.
Is Spotify not part of CarPlay?
I don't have CarPlay.
What?
But my Audi has Amazon Music as an app that it can run from my phone. So, All right. I'll think about it.
Interesting.
Maybe.
All right. Well, that's it for our audio news. Let's move on to a very, very quick segment of gaming news. There isn't actually any real gaming news here. The big gaming companies all took stabs, that being Nintendo and Sony, and then, I guess it was today, but I didn't get to see it, Microsoft, all within the last few days, had online pre-recorded events just showing off indie games coming to their services. The thing that made the Microsoft one cool is that they were showing a bunch of indie games that are coming straight to Game Pass. So that's kind of awesome. But I didn't get to watch this. So not really a whole lot of news there because we don't generally cover games that are coming out. So I'm excited about some of the games that were announced, but we don't typically talk about that here. So one piece of news that we do have, and I really hate the scheduling on this, is now that it's the end of the month, we have the Xbox Live Games with Gold for April, but we don't have the PlayStation Plus games yet because those get announced on the final Wednesday of the month. So you'll have to wait until next week.
That would be yesterday if you're listening to this the day. never mind.
Right. A little bit of time travel here. Yeah. So Games of Gold for April 2019, although you've still got a few more days to catch some of the games from March. So for April, all month long on Xbox One, the Technomancer. This is not a super well-known game, but it's one that I've always been interested in. It is an action sci-fi role-playing game set on Mars. Looks kind of cool. Again, that's an Xbox One game. April 16th through May 15th is your window for your other Xbox One game. It is called Outcast Second Contact. This is a remake of a game that Microsoft is saying was essentially the first open world action game. I never played it. It sounds pretty cool. I do wonder if a remake of a game that is that old from a genre that is so big now still holds up. I don't know. We can find out for free in the second half of April, though. Your other two games for the first half of April is Star Wars Battlefront 2. And for a lot of you, you might be thinking, awesome. That game is only a year and a half old. It's a great Xbox One game, except you would be totally wrong.
Yeah, not that one.
Nope, not that one. Because EA is insane and reused the same exact title when they released Star Wars Battlefront and Star Wars Battlefront 2 on the current gen consoles, because they also made games with the same name on the original Xbox and PS2.
So surely this is the one from the 360, right?
No, this is an original Xbox game.
Wow.
Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Wow.
And it was a great game. A great game. But we're talking 2003, I think, when this came out.
Is that going to be 480?
Probably.
Wow.
That's going to look fantastic on your 4K TV. Nope. Your other game for April, the second half of April, is Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon 2. This is a 360 game, so it'll look okay. It'll look fine. It's Ghost Recon. Like, I don't need to say a lot about Ghost Recon games. If you're into gaming at all, you know what the Ghost Recon games are. They were all pretty good. Everyone's got their favorites. This, again, it's a 360 game. All of these games are backwards compatible and playable on your Xbox One.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so check back next week, and we'll, of course, have the PlayStation Plus free games for April also. GB3 is asking, was Ghost Recon 2 a 360 launch title? His memory is better than mine. I didn't have a 360 at launch, so I don't know for sure if it was a launch title. It's a good question.
That is a good question. This is so ridiculous. I did have a 360 at launch. I have to tell you a funny story. So I wanted the 360 for Christmas. I think it came out right before Christmas, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. In November of 2007, I think.
And so this is what my parents got me for Christmas. Yes, as an adult. And my mother made my stepdad stand in line the night that they were selling it at midnight so that he could go and ensure that they had one of these for me.
Yeah, because that's how you had to get games on game consoles back then on release.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you might not get one until after Christmas.
Right, exactly. Crazy.
You know what? Oh my gosh. I got messed up by my own notes, because the title of this is bad too. It's not Ghost Recon 2. It's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter or something like that too. These games, especially these Tom Clancy games, have way too long of titles for the most part. Because regular Ghost Recon 2 was an original Xbox game also. Anyway, it's free. Check it out come April 16th.
All right, cool. Cool.
Yeah.
And that's it for our news.
Yeah. So what's going on in your entertainment center, Richard?
So last week, you may remember, talked about the Drobo. They said, hey, yeah, we'll replace it. I'm like, yeah, they probably won't. I got back with them and I said, hey, you know, just like most of the people I know who have one of these things still running, I had to replace my fan because my fan went bad. And they said, yeah, that's okay. We'll replace it anyway.
That's crazy.
This has to be a known problem that this firmware update bricked these devices, because why else are they being so ridiculously accommodating?
Right.
So I'm going to be sending in my Frankendrobo and hopefully getting a new one that actually works.
Nuts. That's just nuts, but awesome for you.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I don't know if I talked about this on the last episode or not, but I am currently wearing, as we record, a new pair of noise-canceling headphones because my old B&O headphones that were way too expensive, but really light and really pretty, died. And I didn't know what to do because I had travel coming up and I needed headphones. And I'm like, okay, I got to get new headphones. Twitter, what headphones do I get? And I got some really good recommendations. And it looks like it came down to basically what Sony is offering and the latest Bose offerings. And I was about to get the Sonys. And then I went to South by Southwest. And at South by, Bose had a pop-up event where they demonstrated their new Bose AR technology that they have built into the Bose CQ35-2s, which I am now wearing. Guess which one I bought? And also their new eyeglasses that are meant to be sunglasses that have Bose technology built into them, both to be a Bluetooth audio player for you, and they're amazing, and to also be an AR device. So I ended up getting these, and I haven't had a chance to try the AR stuff, but the AR stuff is really cool. It's stuff like museum tours and walking tours and games where it knows, because they're basically gyros in these headphones, so they know where you're looking and what direction your head is tilted and pointed and everything. So you can do some pretty cool stuff with that. So I'm actually looking forward to playing with that a little bit, but I have the new headphones and I'm really happy with them, actually. They're really good.
Awesome. Glad you like them. That AR stuff does sound really cool.
Yeah. I mean, it could be really cheesy too. It could be bad if it's not done well. So we'll have to see how it is. All right. So watching a lot of stuff. I'll go through this quickly. Game of Thrones. I'm on season 7 now. We are just closing out. For Let's Talk About Thrones, recording the last few episodes of that before season 8 starts on my birthday on April 14th. Guess what I'm doing on my birthday? Watching the premiere of season 8. Also watched a couple episodes of This Is Us and New Amsterdam. I am behind on that, but catching up. I am up to date on The Orville. Wow. The last couple episodes of The Orville, I know I rave about this show every time I watch it. It is so, so good. The last episode featured this time capsule thing where they found someone's iPhone and they basically learned about this person from everything that she had on her iPhone and then created a simulation of that person on their in their holosuites, so that they could actually get to know her better and how that played out with the crew members and the other things that they found from the time capsule. So friggin' good. I love the show. If you're not watching it and you liked Star Trek, you're doing it wrong. Watch this show. It's amazing. Also,
you're the only person I know watching this.
Oh my God, it is so, so good. I'm just, I am continually impressed by it. I finished Arrested Development. Now, this is one of those shows that I pushed my way through because, what's the word? I'm a completionist.
Sure.
I can't let it hang unless it's just like the worst thing ever and I can't stand it and I don't understand. Because I had, and this is the fallacy of I forget what you call this, the investment that you've made up to date. Like, you should just drop it. Doesn't matter that you invested in it already. Oh,
the sunk cost.
The fallacy. Sunk cost, right.
Yes.
This is the sunk time fallacy. Right? I kept watching because I thought that maybe it would get better. It didn't. The last season of Arrested Development and the last 4 episodes are 2 hours of my life that I will never get back. And, oh my God, I know. I'm sure. I am absolutely sure, right, that Ron Howard listens to our show. So as much as I love your stuff and I can't wait to see your new show on Apple TV Plus or whatever it's called, don't make any more Arrested Development. Okay. No more shows, please. No more.
We look forward to him writing in next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And that's fair because I'm being kind of harsh. But Ron, love your work. Just stop with the Arrested Development already.
Yeah.
All right. Superstore, funny. Love that show. Modern Family, I'm up to date on that. The case against Adnan Syed, I think I pronounced it right this time. That is 3 episodes in, 1 more to go. And they reveal a bunch of the stuff that I knew from the Undisclosed podcast. I'm curious to see if they reveal anything new. It's already so obvious that there's very little actual evidence that they used to convict him, regardless of the fact of, you know, like, he may have done it, but the evidence right. they used to convict him was crap. So I really want to see how they play this out at the end. And then finally, we watched The Crimes of Grindelwald. I think I mentioned to you last week that Edward bought that while I was away because it hadn't shown up yet. But I, of course, put the disc in because I wanted the full audio experience and everything. Sure. Still didn't make it interesting to me. You were right. It was really not interesting.
Aren't you glad you own 2 copies now?
Like, you really had to pay attention. Oh, and the Apple account's in my name, so I bought both copies. Yeah, you really had to pay attention, and you had to remember all of these characters. Oh, by the way, some of them from Harry Potter, and you had to know who they all were. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, you needed like a Harry Potter encyclopedia next to you while watching it. Yeah.
Yeah. I did not enjoy that. Okay. But I have good news on the podcast front. And that is that I was listening to our last episode of Entertainment 2.0 right before we started this episode. You know what that means? That means I am less than a week behind on my podcast now.
Yeah, it's only like 5 days. You're getting there.
I am. I'm very excited.
Stop watching garbage shows like Arrested Development.
Well, I've done that now.
Listen to your podcast.
Yeah. All right. So that is it for me. What have you been up to in your entertainment center?
Not a lot. It was a very, very busy weekend in our house. So I was not in front of my TV for very much time at all. The time that I was, it was mostly playing The Division 2. So good. And of course, my regular binges on NHL 19. I did sign up for one of those streaming services again. This is the third year in a row I've needed to do this because we are about, I don't know, 3 weeks from the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs starting. And at that point, my NHL TV subscription service becomes useless because nothing will be on it anymore because everything is nationally televised on NBC Sports. The past 2 years, I've used Sling TV to watch that. And I thought, I don't know, maybe this year I'll try one of the other services. And I was convinced that's what I would do until this weekend. Sling TV ran a new deal, $15 a month for 3 months. And you didn't even have to pay for all 3 months ahead of time. You just sign up now and it'll charge you $15 a month the next, you know, 2 months after that. So that was a deal I couldn't pass up on. So Sling TV, that's going to be it for me again. Now, $15 a month doesn't cover DVR, so it's actually $20 a month for me so that I'm paying the $5 a month for the cloud DVR in case I can't watch a game right as it's starting, which is pretty common for me. So yeah, $20 a month for 3 months to get every NHL playoff game, I'm okay with that.
So is that just for the NHL stuff or is that all of the Sling TV?
It's the
stuff?
Sling Blue package.
Okay.
So Sling has 3 different versions, Sling Orange, Sling Blue, and then Sling Orange Plus Blue.
Which they didn't want to call Brown.
Right. The main difference is Sling Orange has a bunch of the ABC and Disney properties, including ESPN. And Sling Blue has a bunch of Fox and NBC stuff, but not ESPN and Disney and stuff like that. And then obviously the blue plus orange or whatever they call it combines all of that stuff. So all I really care about is NBC Sports. So it's the blue package for me. And I won't have Disney, which the kids would be sad about if they even knew I was signing up for this, which they
knew
don't.
It was a thing.
Right. And I don't have ESPN, but it's not college football season, so I don't care about that either. It's totally fine. I'll just stick with Sling Blue.
Cool. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. So that's it. That's all I got going on. And that's going to do it for this show. If you want to get a hold of us, all of our contact information is in the show notes over at thedigitalmediazone.com. If you want to find us on Twitter, Richard's really good at Twitter. I've been not so great, but I'm trying to get better at it again. I used to be on Twitter all the time. I still love it. Richard's handle is at Richard Gunther. Mine is at Josh Pollard. And you'll, of course, want to be following at Digi Media Zone, D-I-G-I Media Zone, so that you never miss a new article, a new podcast, or finding out when we're going to be recording the show live, because we normally do that Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. The other thing you're going to find out about there is, of course, when our new podcast episodes come out, and we've got bunches of them over the last few days. Richard has a new episode of Home On. Dude, this is a great, I'm just going to say it now. It was a great episode. Tell our listeners what it was about.
So I've talked about this for a little while now. I invited Tony Rayner, one of our listeners and someone that we've known at the DMZ for years. Mm-hmm. And I knew that he was an Iris user, and Lowe's Iris is shutting down at the end of the month. So I wanted to talk with him about his experience with that process. Like, what did he go through? What decisions did he make in terms of what new things to go with, and how it all worked with his family? And so we had a really good discussion. You know, what's funny about this is I worry about episodes like this, because I feel like, you know, I love connecting with people in our community and telling mm-hmm. stories about what users are actually doing. But at the same time, I feel like, oh, but I'm not delivering like a big name from some company. This episode has received so much good feedback. And we're Home On is back at number 12 in iTunes Gadgets podcast list right now. So we did something right, and I know that I loved recording this episode, so I'm glad that people enjoyed it.
Nice. That's awesome. Cool. We also have a new episode of Story Players that just came out, where we played Life is Strange 2 Episode 2. So that is available for your spoilering fun. And oh my gosh, I think today, actually, the final episode of The Walking Dead came out.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to have to play that real soon so that nothing gets spoiled for us. And then we'll be recording a new episode of that for Story Players too. So all of those shows are in iTunes or Pocket Cast or wherever you listen to your podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. Because that's going to do it for episode 480. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
See ya.